again, everyone. And welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, joined today along with my buddy Paulie Dotz, Paul Dottino, and three and counting.
Yeah.
It's been that kind of... It's been a long season for everybody.
It has, Russ. You know, I think the one thing that makes this game very interesting, besides the fact that it's a division opponent, is that Carson Wentz has a torn ACL. He's done for the season. And Nick Foles is going to be quarterbacking for the Eagles. And so there are a lot of people around the country who are interested in this game because they want to see what the Eagles are going to be like without their starting QB, who certainly would have been in the mix for the NFL's MVP, at the end of the year.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, him, Russell Wilson.
But does he get it now that he has to miss the final three games of the season? Could hurt his chances.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough because you don't know what's happening with the other people. I mean, you know, there are three games left. But it's just, can I tell you something? I don't ever remember a season. And listen, folks, for as long as you're watching football, terrible injuries always happen. But I don't remember the amount of injuries to star players, you know, throughout this league, you know, during a season. So many star players.
I think over the last 4 or 5 years, there have been folks who have been keeping track of IR lists and have basically been able to put together a fairly strong IR list of stars. Maybe this year it's a little bit more so than others, but Russ, it just seems as though the last handful of years, this league has lost too many good players to injury. And I get it. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. I don't know if I want to blame the surface or not. I still hear people talking about the artificial surfaces and that, you know, cleats are getting stuck and ankles and knees are getting twisted and that's part of the whole deal. I don't know enough about that scientifically to say, so I won't.
But
it's a shame.
The alleged play, though, that happened to Wentz, that play where it's supposed – It looked like nothing. I mean, to me, he dove in. It looked like he got, you know, took a hit. He's a big guy. But it's just, you don't like to see that happen to anybody. And listen, not that we're sitting here as Eagles fans, because we know that and our fans, that's not the case. But it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just a situation that...
It's a shame
for
the league. It really is.
It really is. It really is a situation. So that being the case, again, you know, Giants go into this game. Eli will be back at quarterback. And the mantra is, let's try and win it.
How crazy is this, Russ? Okay. Here the Giants sit with only 2 wins on the season. The Eagles have already clinched the division. Okay, they're playing for the top seed.
Right.
And yet, let's go all the way back to the date of September 24th, week 3 of the regular season, and it takes a miracle finish by the Eagles with a 61-yard field goal to beat the Giants in the final seconds, which, by the way, started Philadelphia on a 9-game winning streak.
And I think that also put the Giants on the reel. I think the fortunes – listen, injuries aside, we didn't foresee the injuries that were coming. But that was just maybe – it let us know what was in the future.
The football gods were in attendance that day.
The spiral started.
It really did.
The spiral started. So – it's just one of those unfortunate things, but it is what it is. It's not changing between now and the end of the season, folks. You try and go out with respectability, see what you have, see what is there. And listen, we know two men lost their job, so change is going to take place. And you have a situation with players. Some will be here, some won't. You know, what'd you say the last time we were talking? Everybody's job, either you're going to be part of the solution or you're gone as part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all there is to it. So anyway, what do you say we open up the phone lines? 201-939-4513. Let's go to our buddy up in Syracuse. Start the day off with Chris. Chris, how you doing, pal?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just wanted to make a kind of a quick point that I think we've lost sight of as the season has gone on because of the offensive problems that we've had and the struggles that we've had. I hear us kind of now starting to lump the last 2 years in together, and I think that that's kind of a mistake because if I recall last year, we moved the ball up and down the field with pretty regularly. The problem last year was they still couldn't put the points up on the board. They couldn't run the ball in on the goal line. They didn't have the big goal line targets. So they moved the ball all over the place, but they just couldn't do anything with it. This year, they can't do anything, and that's obviously at this point I think is more related to the injuries than anything else. So,
to be fair, I think last year the biggest issue with the Giants offense was lack of balance because the running game really never got on track last season. And this year, at least for that seven games where DJ Fluker had started, the Giants running game was very respectable. I think that's one huge difference between the 2 years and the offensive attack that the Giants put on the field. And then the other thing, of course, simply put, is that this wide receiving core this year is decimated, where last year, they got some more production because Beckham was around the whole season. Victor Cruz gave them a whole season, where Brandon Marshall gave them only a few weeks. Those are certainly, to me, the things that you'd want to point to.
I agree 100%, Paul. That's exactly where I was going with it, is that before we go saying that the Eli's lost a step, because I'm still hearing some of that and all this, I think that it's just important to make the distinction that, yeah, I agree with you. I've been critical of the scheme right along, especially since McAdoo took over as head coach, that it was too one-dimensional and it was too dependent on having that explosive play from Beckham. There wasn't the balance. And so now, once you've lost all that, you've lost your ability to do anything. But I just don't think that all the issues are the exact same. And I still believe that if you get the right scheme in here and you can protect and you can run the ball first and have a pro-style offense in here, I still think the 10's got more than enough in the tank to get it done. And you know, I've kind of got my fingers crossed that we see it go down like that. So
Chris,
have a good day, guys.
All right. You too, Chris. As always, thanks for the call. But you also need the right personnel in there. And obviously, I think more – on a topic that everybody is in agreement on, you're going to need improvement up front. That offensive line has to be better. You know, it had some glimpses earlier this year. I shouldn't say earlier this year. You know, midway it was playing well, and they need offensive linemen. It needs to improve.
Yeah,
I think everybody's in agreement with that. Mm-hmm. So you can put in all your schemes if you want. A scheme doesn't do you any good unless the personnel is in there to carry out the scheme.
Russ, one thing I want to make very clear to people who insist that the Giants have to draft a quarterback in the top five picks of the draft, and certainly it looks like the Giants will be top five. Whether or not they're top two or three, I'm not quite sure yet how it shakes out, but they'll be top five. I think we could say that with a lot of certainty. Just remember this. You've had a franchise quarterback here, and the Giants have missed the playoffs in five out of the last 6 years because there wasn't enough around him. So if you go and you draft that quarterback with one of your top five picks, there's still not going to be enough around him. So you're going to run the risk of not making the playoffs again in the next 4 or 5 years because you haven't been able to build. So that's another reason why, in the most simplest of terms, why if you can deal that pick. Deal the pick.
That's where I'm going. Again, I'm not the GM. That remains to be seen who it will be. Everybody's talking about it. We've said this. I said this from the moment Jerry lost his job, that I wanted Dave Gettleman to get a good shot. And, but by also saying that, I really would want Kevin Abrams to stay in the organization.
Great cap guy.
Not great, outstanding cap guy. And he's a good guy. I just think, I think a guy like Gettleman would keep him as well. I mean, I know Kevin would like to be the GM and certainly be interviewed for the spot. I just think, based on the experience of Gettleman, that he would be the leading candidate. Let's go to Missouri and speak with Jeff. Jeff, how you doing, my friend? You're on with Russ and Paulie Dotz.
Great, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking the call.
One thing I'm very curious about. I'm a big Eli supporter, but you know we've got a very small sample size of Webb from the preseason. He did well against the New England Patriots. He's got great measurables: 6'5", 230. He runs a 4.79. I'm curious because there's not a lot of mention of this in the press. How was he doing in practice? I mean, did the Giants see things in practice that are very good, or are they hesitant to put him even as a second stringer because they're seeing something they don't like?
Well, Jeff, by the way, Missouri's a big state. Whereabouts are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm actually in Gladstone, Missouri now. I'm a native New Jerseyan. I went to Rutgers College.
Oh, there you go. Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Jeff, everything that we've heard, and certainly Spags has said it. Am I correct, Paul? Everything we've heard, and it was not just Spags from Sully. Everybody is saying, you know, he gets tons and tons of work in practice. You mentioned it last week. Prior to games, if you're there early enough, you know, in the area, and you go to MetLife Stadium, you'll see him working out. He gets as much as they can possibly give him
on his own, though, because it's not with the first team,
right? And just remember, but as much as that is, it's still not, you know, the game action, and it's not the game action against the right people. You know, it's like, listen, I sit and watch the games with Paul. And, you know, like Davis Webb looked, what was it, the last game? He looked outstanding. But, again, you know, it's the fourth quarter, and who's he playing against? He's not playing against the front line. So, but those are the questions you're always going to have with a rookie quarterback.
Here's what I'll tell you. Because Davis Webb, and I continue to say this on the program, because he's been here since April, the Giants know up close and personal on a daily basis everything about his work habits, his intelligence, his physical tools, okay? They know about as much as they can know about this guy because he's lived here for the last 6 months. They don't know nearly as much about any of the kids coming out in the draft in April because they don't live with those guys. So they have an abundance of info about this guy, and they like all the stuff that they know about this guy. So why would you get rid of that bird in the hand for maybe two or three in the bush who may not even be in the bush because you just don't know what those other guys are?
No, I remember, Jeff, I don't know if you were, you know, watching us last week, but
yeah.
I had mentioned it. I remember, I think it was November 18th. It was 18th or 17th. It was the UCLA-USC game that Jerry Reese had flown out to watch, you know, Rosen and Darnold play. He took the red eye back to see the Giants play the next day. He was there bright and early to see, you know, Giants play KC. And I remember talking to him about Rosen and Darnold. And he said about both of them, he said, hey, without question, and I'm quoting, without question, both guys will play in this league. Both guys will be starters in this league. But he also said that both would benefit from another year in college.
Now, yeah, and
No, go ahead. I mean, that's not me.
I definitely hear that, too, and I think you guys made a great point earlier. My only fear is this. With that top draft pick that we've got, if for some reason we've got our potential future quarterback already on the roster, to your point, we've got a great Eli. He's been fantastic for the organization, but – could we draft somebody else other than a quarterback if we know what we have in Davis Webb?
100%.
You know?
You could. But if you look at what the Giants are trying to do here, if Eli is going to be that guy, which is why you would not draft the quarterback, you have to believe you now have a 1 or 2 year maximum window to try to make another run with him. So if you can go out and grab as many as 4 or even 5 premium picks, probably 3 this year and maybe 2 next year, those guys could, you know, they could make an impact, especially if they're, you know, first, second, third round picks. You might be able to get guys who can help you in 2018 get to the playoffs with Eli and give him a chance. I kind of think I'd like to have the more bodies than I would just have one player, Russ.
I listen, I think a lot of people, I mean, we've heard from fans as well. And listen, Jeff, what the Giants are now 2-11. The coach and GM who comes back, who comes into this situation, it's a pretty darn good situation. It is the New York Giants. There is talent on this team. There's talent on offense. There's talent on defense. But there are holes as well. But this is not, you know, we're not coming in. I don't think anybody's, I'll ask you, Paul. I don't think anybody's coming in next year with the hope, oh, let's get to 8-8. I don't think anybody's coming in with that attitude.
Especially if they think they're going to keep Eli.
Yeah.
Then you're not, 8-8's not going to do it.
No.
You're going to be a playoff team.
You're coming in to make the playoffs. Yeah, Jeff.
I would say this, too. Think about this. And I said this, I think, to Russ earlier this morning before we started the show. My friend, it's Jeff, right?
Yeah.
Jeff, let me say that you are the Giants' next general manager, okay? And you're in charge of trying to get this team back into the playoffs and you know, restore the Giants' pride and all the good things that the Giants want you to do. Well, as the new GM, what do you want to do? Do you really want to take that one hit-or-miss franchise guy who could wind up being Jamarcus Russell, Tim Couch, Ryan Leaf, David Carr? Do I need to go any further? Or do you want a whole handful of draft picks so now you can really put your stamp on the franchise and start building a cement-solid foundation for a team that's going to have a good 4 or 5 year run? I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, the only thing I would differ with Paulie on with the names he just mentioned, the only guy I give a little bit of a break on that is the guy who was here as a backup, David Carr, because David Carr was destroyed his rookie season without an offensive line.
But that's the problem. You have the, quote, franchise quarterback, and if you don't have stuff around him, that's what happens.
No, well, yeah, that's got to be fixed. That
you
above
know?
All. Yeah, no, that's got to be fixed. That's why I'm in that group that says let's get a package and trade that.
I totally agree with you. I 100% agree.
Anything else, Jeff?
I think he's gone.
I think Jeff is gone.
Okay.
We might have said goodbye too early. If we did so there, we apologize, Jeff. Call us again, my friend. Let's go to Pennsylvania and speak with Joe. Joe, how you doing today?
Hey, great to talk to you, Two Aces.
What's up, Joe?
Well, talking about yesterday, John and him were talking about Carson Wentz, too, yesterday. You know, it's a shame. Well, I don't know if I look at that that way. I think they put him in this predicament. He ran so much, and the way he extended plays and running these option plays, you know, you got to put it on the team somewhat, too, there. It happened the same thing with the Washington quarterback a couple of years ago. Who was the young guy that came up?
But hold on. RG3 was much more of a risk-taker and mad scrambler and runner than Carson Wentz. Don't put them in the same category, please.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Paul. I watch a lot of their games, and I'm telling you what, he runs a lot. If you watch his game, he takes off quite a bit, he did, and extending plays and stuff like that. And he got hammered in that Rams game. They knocked him to the ground a few times and everything, and I could see it coming.
Yeah, but
so I don't know if I feel real bad or not. They did put him in that position. I'm telling you the truth, Paul.
But, Joe, whether you feel bad or not, or whether they put him in that position or not, we were just saying you feel bad to see a star player. You don't want to see anybody get hurt, but you're talking about a star player who's an MVP candidate.
I understand that, but they put him in that position. I'm telling you how many times he takes off a game. He runs all the quarterback sneaks and that, which ain't bad, but he runs quite a bit of options and stuff. He does.
Okay.
He takes off. You know what I mean? I'm just saying I could see it coming. And would I feel bad now if the Giants would come and put a hammer in on their backup, Fultz, it is? No, should I feel bad? It's part of the game.
Well, no one is saying we. Of course, we know it's tackle football. It's not for the faint of heart. But I mean, for crying out loud, Joe, it's the holiday season. Have a heart. I don't want to see a guy rip his ACL.
You're not in my position where I get hammered here in Pennsylvania from these Eagle fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I get you.
I can bring up my Super Bowls and stuff. Oh, you're living in in the past. You know, at least I have a past to live in, you know. So, I mean, I know how a lot of Giant fans, their number one team to beat is the Cowboys. So I hope our Giants can come out and play a good physical game, stop their running game, and put the pressure on them. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Joe.
Knock them from that number one seat.
All right, Joe.
And as far as talking about our quarterbacks, what you're talking about in the draft, if we're up there and there's a number one quarterback there, and if we don't get a real good deal, I think we take the number one quarterback. The quarterback we have now behind, whatever, isn't tested. And you never know, he could get in there and get injured too. And having a mobile quarterback there could give you a little bit more time to extend the plays and stuff like that. So you have to look at it both ways, I think. You know, if that quarterback's up there, hey, you ain't getting a deal, you take it. That's the way I look at it, you know.
All right,
Joe. I'd rather have both of them quarterbacks there to have your decision from, you know what I mean? And if they're both playing well and none of them get injured, they're always worth $1 million there too. So thanks for taking my call. Merry Christmas and
too,
go Giants.
Joe.
Hey, I don't know if – that's what I was saying, trying to get something from you. Am I a bad person feeling this way about the Eagles?
No,
you know?
No. We just
they
don't – I don't want to see anybody
–
I don't want to
see
anybody seriously hurt. That's all, Joe. But you're a good Giants fan.
Seriously. Aaron's
right.
Just taken out of commission. Even their – I okay. Listen to their talk show. Hey – when them years ago, the linebacker was saying on their talk show, when the quarterbacks get out there and run around them ends, they're free game.
All right.
You go for them.
All right, Joe.
That is true.
Thanks very much,
that is
buddy.
True.
Appreciate it. Thank
Joe,
you.
Just to clarify the numbers, and yes, Wentz has run more frequently than I thought. I am aware of his escapability. Certainly, it's part of his game. I just don't consider him as much of a runner.
It's a different type of runner
okay?
than RG3.
But just for the numbers. Cam Newton leads quarterbacks this year with 100 rushing attempts. Russell Wilson is second with 76. Tyrod Taylor third with 69. Carson Wentz fourth with 64 rushing attempts on the season among NFL quarterbacks. Just so you have that number to go by. And in terms of his rushing yardage, which I think is actually a little bit more of an interesting number because Wentz a lot of times runs around to keep a play alive to throw it, not necessarily to run forward and take off with the ball.
Right.
Wentz, for his 64 carries, has 299 rushing yards, which is sixth amongst NFL quarterbacks this season. By comparison, RG3, and this is why we had to stop you, because RG3 is certainly a much different deal than those other guys. RG3, when he first came up with the Redskins, ran 120 times for 815 yards because he was going forward with the ball.
Right.
Big difference.
No, I think what you did, I mean, and Joe was great. He was a lot of fun. But
I want to clarify, that's all.
The comparison of the two distinctly different type of runners.
Not at all. The same.
RG3 is a guy who, you know, almost a run first guy. Wentz is kind of like
Wentz is more like John Elway.
Yeah, he has the great ability to extend the play, and when he's extending it, he can run. You know, he can take off.
Let's face it, RG3 ran that read option, you know, time and time and time again, and that's designed for the quarterback to keep the ball a whole lot of times.
You know, he's a little different than Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger is great at extending plays.
Ben's just a horse.
Well, so's Wentz.
Yeah,
Ben's great at extending plays because, as you say, he's a Clydesdale back there. He's big and strong, and you can't get him down. Wentz is big and strong.
He is.
And has escapability I mean, that Roethlisberger doesn't have. Jeff, here in New York. Jeff, how you doing today, buddy? You're on with Russ and Paulie D.
Did you mean Jack?
Well, they said Jeff, but if your name is Jack, we'll take Jack. All right, Jack?
Go ahead.
All right. Okay, I'll go with for today. Listen, I've got a couple questions and then maybe an opinion. The first thing is the Rooney does the Rooney rule apply to a GM search?
I believe it does.
Right, I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but go ahead.
Okay. The next question is the scenario that seems to happen all the time where our famous Patriots end up in the Super Bowl. Would that mean that if we were interested in their team, that we would have to wait till like February 1st to even contact them?
Yeah.
You got to wait till the team is done, unless they give you special permission to talk ahead of time. And by the way, the Rooney Rule does say it is for head coaching and senior football operation jobs. We all know that a GM is a senior position.
Okay.
What else, Jack?
I guess just my opinion would be this: I'm assuming Gettleman is very qualified, but I'd be a little, you know, upset if they picked him up in the next few days or something like that with all the stuff they should be looking at. There's a lot of other options out there, and I think at this point in the season and you know, in this organization's future, that they should be taking a long, long look before hiring anyone.
Well, I don't know what their time schedule is. I don't know what that game plan is, but I would say this, Jack, part of the reason that it was done when it was done, you know, to replace, Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo, was so the game plan can be put forth and start planning ahead. And, you know, quite frankly, Gettleman would be high on – it's not because he was formerly with the organization. He would be high on anybody's list. And for good reason. If they think he's the top guy, then in their mind, he's the top guy. Since you're throwing it out, Jack, who would you say?
Well, you know, as much as I hate the Patriots, you know, they seem to have a pretty good team there. That Wolf from Green Bay, you know, of course, they might be in the playoffs. They might not. I'm just saying, you know, with Gettleman, there is some question about his age, whether he would really – would he be there for only a few years?
He's 66. If you're going to say to me, is he going to be there for 15 years?
Probably not.
I'd say no. If you say to me he's going to be there for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, I don't see why not.
I would just say this to you, okay? And I'm not going to campaign for or against anybody. But if you look at Dave Gettleman's resume, not only did he win 3 division championships and go to a Super Bowl in 4 years with the Panthers, which, by the way, is a heck of a track record no matter what the guy's name is. Think about in his years with the Giants as the pro personnel director from 99 to 2012. As the pro personnel director, the Giants went to 3 Super Bowls and won 2. So as a senior front office executive, since 1999, Dave Gettleman has been part of 4 teams that went to a Super Bowl. That's a pretty good resume, no matter what his name is. I don't know how many people in the league can say they've got that many, never mind more than him.
You know, Jack, I understand where you're coming from. Don't get us wrong here, but you know, the Giants have a pretty good record, if you will, of staying within. When George Young left, Ernie was promoted. Ernie left, Jerry was promoted. You know, and it was Jerry or Gettleman. So now Gettleman left, but they know what they got. And believe me, when Gettleman left, and probably, you know, there was a lot of talk, because of what Gettleman's age was at the time, would he get the chance? You know, he was certainly about 60 when he got his head coaching job, not head coaching job, his GM's job.
Well, it was four and a half years ago,
okay,
and he's 66.
So, okay, 66 now.
That was his dream, to be an NFL GM. He thought he'd never make it.
And the point was, he went, the Richardson signed him, and, you know, like Paul gave you the numbers, he's got a pretty darn good track record down there, you know, with the Panthers. So I do see your point, but my point is the Giants did this so they can get a jump start and kind of put the game plan in place. And that means if Gettleman's the guy, let Gettleman become the guy, if that's what they want to do, and then your game plan is in place as far as, okay, what do you want as your coach? What do you want with your staff? What do you want as your personnel with guys on your roster?
Like I said, I don't, you know, discount his resume, whatever. It just, you know, the way this year has gone, maybe it's time to look outside the box. It's, you know, just an opinion.
Fair enough.
He's more than qualified. Hope they do their due diligence. That's all.
Thank you.
I would think they would. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the call, buddy. Let's go out to New Mexico, and speak with Scott. Scott, you're on with Russ and Paulie Dots.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing great. First-time caller. I've been a long-time Giant fan since the days of Del Schaffner and Y.A. Tittle.
Oh, great.
So,
are you a transplanted New Yorker or New Jerseyan?
I am. I'm a transplanted New Yorker. Lived in California, now in New Mexico.
Okay.
Had a couple of questions. I'll make it fairly brief, but I know you guys were talking about talent on the Giant roster, and what I'm asking is, where is that talent? Because it hasn't been shown this year, either on the offensive or defensive lines, especially with JPP and Olivier Vernon. Now, realizing they may have been hurt, I don't know if that's accurate because you probably have more inside information than I do. You start great championship teams with defense, and I don't see it at all this year. And having seen a number of iterations of Giant teams through the years, the great teams always have the great linebackers and the great defensive linemen, and I haven't seen it displayed this year.
I was just
wondering, did the Giants make a mistake in paying the large salaries to both Olivier Vernon and JPP? And is there any way to recap some of that money or make some changes?
Well, first of all,
I wanted to get your opinion.
Well, Scott, let's since you bring it up like up front. Let's talk on defense first. As far as Olivier Vernon goes, I mean, he was playing hurt all season.
Right. He's had a bad shoulder.
He's had a bad shoulder, the ankle.
The ankle,
I mean,
too.
He's been really banged up. I mean, to me, injuries sidelined him.
Actually, JPP's been hurt most of the year, too.
You know, so injuries have had to do with that. As far as when we say that there's talent here, on the offensive line, no one's going to argue with that. I mean, everybody is in total agreement. That's where they need the most help, okay, on the offensive line. As far as, you know, receivers, well, you know, you had your receivers were ripped apart.
Right.
So that goes, you know who your receivers are, so that goes without question. Now, going back to defense, I couldn't agree with you more. I think part of the problem, which hurt the defense, even the guys, the DBs, as well as the guys up front, the lack of linebacker play. You know, B.J. Goodson is a player, but you got to be able to keep him healthy on the field.
And at various times, they've lost Keenan Robinson. They lost Jonathan Casillas. That didn't help the situation at all. We know what happened with Jackrabbit. We know Eli Apple's whole season is basically gone downhill because of a lot of issues, including personal family health issues.
Right.
So there are a lot of reasons here why this team has not performed up to the back of their football card. I mean, no one's denying any of that. That's all true. But I do think it's reasonable or logical to expect that at least a good bunch of these guys will perform at their expected levels in 2018. It's hard to believe that all of them would have down years again. I know. I just don't see that happening.
But as you know, having watched, obviously, the Giants in practice and so forth, and have seen how people perform, where do you place the blame for this kind of thing? I know other teams have injuries. We're not the only ones that do. But when I was watching some of the championship teams that the Giants produced, they always had a strong linebacking core. They always had, obviously, a great defensive line. And other than Harrison, who I think has played very well this year.
Yes, he has.
And
Tomlinson's done a nice job, too.
Right. Despite the injuries, other teams have injuries on their defensive and offensive lines and seem to do better. So do you honestly think it's them, or is it more of a coaching issue, or is it something where something can be rectified by changing personnel?
I'm going to make this a real simple answer, if I may, Russ. Simply put, the Giants have already decided to change their coach and their GM, so they believe that they were part of the issue. But don't excuse the players, okay?
Right.
Because the players have certainly had their issues. Whether or not it has to do with injuries, and we've already diagrammed those for you here. In addition to that, I absolutely believe, okay, Bill Parcells used to say that the results build on each other. He used to say that there's winning breeds winning and losing breeds losing. Because
right.
Momentum will take you in one direction or another so fast that it spins your head before you know it, and sometimes you can't stop it. Well, the spiral, the tornado that took this team with it after those back-to-back heartbreaking defeats against Philadelphia and Tampa Bay on last-second field goals, it just, I mean, everything. The tornado just sucked it all up and took it all with it. And so some of that is just the nature of the game.
Right. One quick question, then I'll take this off the air. I've often heard, and everybody talks about, how this has been a year of adversity, but I sort of look at adversity as a different format. Adversity is, you know, throwing a football against a 40-mile-an-hour wind or dealing with injuries, et cetera, et cetera. But how do you think the Giants really handle pressure, which is really, I think, the more important issue? Because when you look at the games, in pressure situations where they had to stop someone, they couldn't do it. So is that something that can be changed or rectified for the years coming up, or is this something we're going to have to live with for a while?
I think that goes to what Paul just said. Winning breeds winning, losing breeds losing. When you get into a pressure, and listen, if there's a silver cloud, what is it? Dark cloud has a silver lining. Mm-hmm. If there's a silver lining, Scotty, to this season, it's hopefully everybody grows from what happened this season, because it's been ugly. But when you have that losing feeling, when you're a 2-9, 2-10, now, you know, 2-11 football team, when you have that, and now it gets, here we are in the third quarter. We didn't get the third down. Here we go again. You know what I'm saying, Scott? It's that attitude. You don't have confidence where that confidence was there last season, because last season they took care of business. In last year, it was a winning season, so they took care of business in those situations.
Even in their winning season, their offense didn't score very many points.
No, but the defense was there. Yeah, the defense was there, and the defense, you can count on that. There was counting on nobody this season.
Don't forget, in last year, in Coach McAdoo's first year when they won 11 games, they won a handful of games with Eli directing fourth quarter comebacks. So while they were not prolific in scoring, they scored when they needed to, when they had to, at the most critical moments of games to put the defense in position to lock it down in the final couple of minutes.
Right. So in your honest opinion, and then I'm going to get off the air, but in your honest opinion, looking at the future, and obviously nobody knows or can predict who the general manager and new coach is going to be, but do you honestly think this is going to be more than a year's period before the Giants get back to where we think they should be and where we can actually say we have a championship team?
Well, I'm not – when you say championship team, Scotty, I'm not saying they're winning the Super Bowl in the next 2 years, but – you know, I just said to Paul, anybody who's coming in here, the goal is not to be – I can guarantee you that. The goal is not to be 8-8 next year. The goal is to be a playoff team. I can guarantee.
Well, I think always the goal is to win the Super Bowl, not to even be
we know that. But realistically, the goal, you're not going to say – I mean, the goal is to be a playoff team. As Parcells always would say, just get into the tournament. Tournament and then see what happens. And listen, that's how the Giants won their last two Super Bowls.
Yep.
They got into the tournament.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Lisa, how are you today, my dear?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I just wanted to talk about the draft a little bit. I'm in total agreement with you guys, and I'm hoping – the Giants are the same way. I hope they trade that pick, because I feel we're a few picks away. I know we need certain areas that need to be filled, and I think this year in the draft, if we trade that pick, and we stay with Eli and Webb is our guy, we can really help the team out. I mean, offensive line, defense. I'm really excited about the draft this year. And a question, do you think the Giants, if they do trade the pick and they pick, are they going to pick a new left tackle or try to get a left tackle in the draft, or are they going to stay with Flowers?
Look at it this way. It would not shock me if Eric Flowers is playing left tackle in 2018. He's given up one sack since week two against the Detroit Lions. He's only been flagged for four penalties all season long. He has absolutely, positively, unequivocally improved his game from where he was last year. So if you're going to recognize those facts, you have to be aware of the possibility that he could be playing left tackle for this team again in September. If you don't want to recognize those facts, as most people with Eric Flowers' voodoo dolls in their closet do not wish to do, then you can't stomach the fact that he could be playing left tackle for the Giants, and you'll do anything to avoid it. I'm sorry?
I feel he's going to be our left tackle next year because I feel he did improve. If you look fairly at the team, and not only, I mean, I know they're a bad team this year, but the little improvements, if you look closely, you see Eric Flowers is one of them.
Well, he definitely improved. I mean, there was a string there of how many games?
I have.
Was it after the first?
The Detroit game, he gave up three sacks.
Right. And then
he had a consecutive string, I believe it was, of eight games was it?
No sacks.
Where he didn't give up any. He gave up one to Tapper against Dallas. Anza beat him three times against the Lions. And Gallette beat him in Washington. And that is it. So five sacks, four penalties. I'm okay with that, to be perfectly frank with you.
And he's young. I mean, you're looking, he's young. He's a young left tackle. And that's another good thing about the draft. You draft, you get more, if you get more linemen in, backups, and you get young guys in, then when it's Davis Webb's turn, he still has a pretty young line.
Look, Lisa, I do want to make sure one thing, and I'm always very quick to rip on the analytics people because quarterback pressures are very key. I don't have the quarterback pressure numbers, and I know the Giants would like to get that number down. That's what would help him get to the next level of left tackles. If he can get that other stat down, whatever that number is, then he would certainly be a rock-solid left tackle. He's not there yet. But he's gotten his sack number down, and he's gotten his penalty number down. That's two-thirds of the battle. So we leave you
and
with that.
I like Fluker at right. I hope they keep Fluker.
Yeah, I like Fluker too.
I like him at right. What do you think about our running game? Do you think it's going to stay status quo, or are they going to look in the draft? Or
I think that depends on what they get. To me, their first need is the offensive line.
The line.
It depends who is there and what the pick is.
Here's the thing. Shane Vereen's an unrestricted free agent.
Well, he's not coming back.
And so they'll have to replace that body.
Right.
I'm sure that, you know, they'll look for that kind of guy. If they can get, I don't know, Orleans Stark was an unrestricted free agent too. They may not be able to retain him. And
that's
so
what I'm saying. He is. I mean, we have Gelman.
You know,
but
you have,
Dark
well,
was
you have
gonna be,
Gallman and
you got
and
Gallman
Perkins.
And Perkins. That's all you got. That's all you got right now. So you're going to need to get another running back in here in all likelihood if those two guys walk.
Yeah.
All right, Lise?
Yes, thank you, guys.
All right, my dear. You have a good day and keep stomping. Okay, let's go out to Oakland, California, and speak with Mike. Mike, you're on with Russ and Paulie Dotz. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. Nice to be back on the show.
Hi.
Yeah, so, you know, I really called to talk about two things, although I ought to throw a shout-out to you guys because I just want to say, you know, in general, that not just the two of you, but all the hosts on this show have done a really good job of kind of staying positive and pragmatic through this season because it's been tough
you
on
think?
The fan side.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Mikey. It's tough on everybody's side. This is, without question, a long, long season for all parties concerned, players, fans, front office, media, there's nothing. Nothing to smile about at 2-11, my friend.
You know, Mike, I'm going to go back to another Parcells saying, you're never as good as you look or as bad as you look. And really, you have to keep that in mind and just try to stick with the facts, especially when that line goes dramatically in one way or the other. Right now, the line is dramatically on the bad side for the Giants. So if you just stick with the facts and the basic core things that you believe what you see, you know what you know, it makes it a lot easier and kind of keeps you from, you know, going out to the ledge and getting a little bit over dramatic about things.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I think that we still have a lot of talent on the roster. I mean, there's guys I've seen play great football, and I think they will again. So, but I just wanted to say, you know, I don't catch the show every day just because of work, but I think you guys do a great job of, you know, kind of keeping us going and enjoying the hour as much as possible. But on the idea of like a real tough year, you know, it just continues. Because for me, you know, I've actually been watching Darius Powell, since preseason and, you know, any video clip I could find. And, you know, I thought the guy has been, you know, building the capability to hopefully be an impact player for us. So I was, you know, one benefit of having a decimated roster was, hey, let's get some real snaps for him. And bam, one game, broken foot, IR. That's the way it's gone, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it's gone. Good kid, too, by the way. This was his second year on the practice squad. And now, you know, his one opportunity turned out to be the other day. You got to feel for him for sure.
And he knew, you know what? He knew something was wrong. I think.
And he kept playing.
He knew it was busted. He just kept playing.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't want to come out.
Yeah. So I think that's something. I mean, because we had to push him when he looked like he was going to get a roster spot after camp this year. We had to put him on IR because of an injury. So, you know, bad luck. But I think obviously he's a tough kid. So. So appreciate that. But the other thing I just wanted to kind of throw out there is Eli Apple. You know, there's a lot of criticism about him, and justifiably so. I mean, he's a professional. He's making a lot of money to play football, and obviously this year he has not performed for us. But I just want to throw out there that, look, he's a 22-year-old kid. His mom is suffering from brain cancer. And the one thing, you know, I'm almost 50 now, and the one thing I've found out living through, you know, loss is when people's family members get sick, and, you know, this is a kid's mom, and obviously, you know, she's really important with them. But when, you know, when people are going through that kind of stuff, like you just learn over time that you don't know how people are going to react. And some people handle situations well, and some people do some pretty bizarre stuff. I mean, even family members of mine reacting to that kind of stuff have just kind of, you know, gone somewhat crazy. So I just want to say, 22-year-old kid, I think it'd be good if the fan base cuts him a little slack, recognizing what's going on with his mom.
Well, first, let me say this, and I speak with Eli every day when I see him in there and ask him about his mom and or dining room, and he gives me a thumbs up with a smile that she's doing much better. I don't, unless I'm wrong, Paul, she had brain surgery, but I do not believe it's cancer.
Yeah, I've never heard cancer came up. I do know there was a brain surgery.
You know, there was brain surgery, but the fact that it's not cancer is a good thing. You know what, okay. Mike? You're right. 22 years old is 22 years old. However, and the however is, listen, you know, the latest criticism, tweeting during a game. You know, whether you're 22 or 12.
Well, it's against policy, NFL policy. You can't do it.
You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be doing that. The thing that strikes me when I hear these things about Eli, and Paul, you can attest to this as well. I mean, I see the kid every day, the kid, young man. I see him every day, and, he, you know, he's some guys walk around with a scowl. Now, in fairness, I don't see a lot of that in the Giants locker room. Some guys are more comfortable talking to the media than others. But he's a comfortable guy in his own skin. I mean, he's got a smile on his face. He can give it. He can take it. So, you know, you don't want to say lost cause, this and that, but there are things that need to be improved.
Here's what I want to say, and I'm not going to push this aside lightly, but let's just put the individual circumstances aside and let's just call him player X, who has had to deal with some issues maybe some maturity concerns, and certainly some focus issues, mental difficulty in terms of getting his game on track.
Right.
Well, he was a first-round pick, and he's got this season he's going to have to rebound from. Corey Webster was a second-round pick, and for a while there, everybody called him a bust. They thought he was done. He had lost his confidence. He had lost his focus. It was partially because of injury. It was partially because the coaching staff did not have a scheme that fit him very well. But yet he rebounded and became a key member on a Super Bowl championship team and had a phenomenal postseason in 2007. A third-round pick, Jaron Hosley, came to the Giants, was immature, couldn't get his focus straight, had a lot of skills, and never got it right, and found himself cut and out of the league, and he was done.
Right.
So I give you an example of one guy who rebounded from the depth of his career in Corey Webster and a guy in Jaron Hosley who never got it right and wound up not being a productive NFL player, despite having a heck of a skill set. So Eli Apple could go either way here. Okay, and again, I'm not being insensitive to his particular circumstances with his mom, but you're talking about a player right now who has to learn, has to mature some, has to be able to focus better on football, and whatever the reasons are, I think people are pulling for him. I know DRC is. He talked about it yesterday.
I was just going to say, Mike, DRC, you know, flat out said, you know, I was that guy. I was...
He was considered a cut-up.
Yep, I was Eli Apple. So, yeah, listen.
He's got some leadership there, right?
Well,
I mean, he's got some people to talk to. So, you know, I just say, Paulie, you know, nice job throwing out Corey Webster. So what I'm going to, you know, sign off with is an image in my mind of Tom Brady throwing about a 65-yard pass in the air to Randy Moss, who's supposed to be the greatest, you know, receiver in history, according to some people.
And
it was Corey Webster going up and knocking that ball away and guaranteeing us the victory. So thank you for that that picture, and I hope that's where Eli Apple goes. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Mike. Yeah, that was interesting to hear DRC say that yesterday.
It was. He has become a self-professed mentor to Eli Apple, and he's trying to guide him through the dark times and says unequivocally Apple wants to be here and wants to succeed, and DRC wants to be the guy to help him. Russ, one thing I want to do before we go anywhere else, I just want to mention the Toys for Tots.
Very important.
Is coming up. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, you
got a couple of calls here. The Giants, along with Toyota and the U.S. Marine Corps, will have the annual Toys for Tots drive at MetLife Stadium Sunday as the Giants take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Fans are encouraged to bring new unwrapped toys to any of the collection vehicles. The volunteers will be located at each entrance at the stadium prior to the game, and the Marine Corps reserves will be out there to help you out, direct you where you got to go.
1 o'clock game.
1 o'clock game against Philadelphia. Toys for Tots. I told you guys last week with the coat drive, everybody needs some warm clothing for the holidays. Those who are less fortunate need your help if you can do it. Well, guess what? Every child deserves to open up a present around the holidays.
Well said, Paulie. Well said. And for the Giants, that present will be a new coach and GM and some high-quality draft picks. Yeah, they need Christmas and Hanukkah all wrapped up in one. Let's go down to Atlanta and speak with Jay. Jay, how you doing today? You're on with Russ and Paulie D.
Hey, fellas. How you guys are doing?
How you doing, Hello. Jay?
Hey, I got a quick question. That was a valid point you made about the cornerback as far as Eli Apple go with Corey Webster.
Right.
Another guy I like to think about as far as left tackle, I mean, a lot of guys are getting on Eric Flowers, and I think he's becoming a scapegoat for the offensive line. I've pretty much been watching all the Giant games all year long, and he's progressed to me each and every game. And I remember Luke, I believe it's Luke Pettigrew.
Pettigrew, yep.
He had the same path in the beginning of his career where everybody wanted him gone from left tackle. It was around year four, I want to say, that he started go forward in his career. He was never like the premier Pro Bowler, I guess, that everybody wanted him to be, but he ended up developing into a consistent left
solid
tackle
player. You know, when they got him out of Notre Dame and he was the number one pick, There were a lot of people who said he's going to have to be a guard because he can't even make it as a tackle in the NFL. And he did play some of that, some token snaps there, and then they wound up getting him back outside to tackle, and he had a very productive career. So you make a good point.
You know what, Jay, also, because we were talking about with Lisa, earlier caller, about the progress he's made. I mean, you know, he's certainly, you know, he's not an all-pro, not yet anyway, but – people forget, you know, they can look at the number of the draft pick. They can look at the money he receives coming in. But they also forget youth is still youth. And, you know,
yes,
he came,
I agree.
Jay, he came in as a 20-year-old. And as a 20-year-old mm-hmm. offensive lineman going up against big men, you know, it's part of the package. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's part of the narrative, if you will.
I agree. So, I mean, I hope we don't give up on him quite yet. I mean, I think his upside potential is there, and he showed improvement. And also, whatever GM we get this year, I hope this is a meat and potatoes draft. Like, we need a Jesse-type Armstead linebacker. We need a real guard that's going to push the pile. I like Justin Q, but he's been injury-prone the last couple years. So I don't know if we should throw a lot of money at him. But linebackers – and off the line, I think we don't need to go with quarterback quite yet. I think number 10 got at least 2-3 more years, good years left in him. But and we owe him a chance at another ring. We have to protect him and solidify our offensive line, and we have to get us some linebackers. A Mike back is a must.
No argument there, Jay. All right, buddy, thank you for the call.
Giants are hoping
thank
B.J.
you.
Goodson is that Mike linebacker.
Well, yes, but that goes – we've been saying that to, like, we'll be becoming a broken record about that. He's just got – he's got to stay healthy. What was it, the first game? We were all – everybody – how many was it? 15 tackles or something?
Played well against Dallas. Played
well. I'm telling you, what it was like 14 or 15 tackles.
Double digits.
It was double digits. And, you know, everybody got excited, and we – you know, we weren't calling him, you know, he wasn't called Banks or Jesse or LT, but it gave us, you know, it was that deep tradition, that rich tradition of Giant linebackers, but he hasn't been healthy. You know, when he's on the field, it's a different story, but he hasn't been on the field long enough to give us the complete story on him.
I'll say this, regardless of what happens with him, they need an impact linebacker in this draft. I don't care if it's a strong side guy, a weak side guy. If you don't think that BJ is going to stay healthy, you want to get a guy in the middle, whatever. They need a linebacker in this draft.
So let me ask you this. You're not changing your mind. Your priority still has to be the offensive line.
Oh, yeah, but see, I'm trading to get the extra pick so I can get a linebacker.
That's exactly – well, what would you – okay, so let me ask you this. Let's make a deal.
Okay.
Okay. What would you want in return for that pick? Let's
say
it was
– it's got to be minimum four premium picks.
Okay, so let's say it's two. Let's say it's the number two pick that you're trading up.
I'm going to trade down into the top 10.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to flop picks there. Then I'm going to get your number two and your number three this year, and I'm going to get your number one and your number two next year. I want four picks to move down.
You know what a chaza is?
No, but I'm telling you, it's going to be expensive, baby. You want one of those franchise quarterbacks? Pay up.
No. Listen.
Price for RG3 was four picks when the Rams made that trade.
It was four picks.
Four picks.
Well,
that's it.
Listen.
Pay up.
It all sounds good, but I do believe, I think you don't hear anybody complaining about that logic. I think most fans that we've heard from, you know, we get into arguments and beefs.
That's because you haven't done a show with Schmelk, who's dead set against that.
He wants a quarterback?
He's not sold on Davis Webb, and he wants to make the pick for the QB.
No.
He thinks I'm the crazy one wanting to get the picks.
No, well, with all due respect, he's the crazy one. I'm sorry. I want the beef. and I still want number 10 as my quarterback. But anyway, for the time being, that is a wrap on today. Thank you for Paulie for being with us today, and we're going to thank you again tomorrow because we're back. Russ and Paulie are with you tomorrow. It has been Giants.com. The number, as always, as the number, it's been Big Blue Kickoff on Giants.com. The number remains 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag GiantsChat. We will chat with you again tomorrow at noon.